I believe, I've always very firmly believed in a clear division between logic and emotion. So, like, I might have a feeling, I might be having feelings about a situation, but I will always investigate the situation to see whether or not reason, rational, whether I have a rational reason to be feeling about the situation the way I feel. And if it feels like I don't, if it feels like I'm overreacting, I tend to mitigate my reaction. I tend to pay attention to how extra close attention to how I'm responding, especially if the response affects those outside of myself. And I have a friend who doesn't really believe in making the distinction between emotion and rationality or reason, at least not in the way that I do. He considers it, there are times when he said he's considered it irrelevant, and it is a much more holistic way of viewing the human experience and human response to experiences. Because I do believe in God, and I believe that God created us with, really beautiful, valuable, important responses, reactions, etc., and that, in the baggage of our emotions, that all of the emotions are valuable and needed for something. All of our reactions to gather information about the world around us. I do believe that, and I even agree with him. That probably my way of thinking about, dividing reason and emotion is probably too much. I know, I feel like he's probably right that I should flatten that curve altogether, that I should just like, there should be no division because it's all information. I know this as a person who's very intuitive. I know this as a person who's constantly receiving information about people that I can't, before I can explain and coming to conclusions and understandings about people, before I can understand, explain why. And that is based solely on, at least partially, on emotion, but it's also logic, right? Because I do believe, like, in sort of Agatha Christie's way of thinking about it, like, she wrote about it. Well, I don't know if it's her way, but it's Poirot, her detective Poirot's way of explaining intuition, which is that our subconscious takes note of very small details and packs them away, and that feeds into our conscious mind, which gives us the conclusions that we leap to or that seem leaped to and seem to have a lack of information and basis. Such as intuition. I do kind of, I believe that as well. I believe that, intuition is information that's stored that we don't necessarily have access to because we know our brain is a target recognizing, a pattern recognizing machine. So it sees all the things and maybe draws conclusions before we can like show our work, so to speak. I don't know about how math is for kids these days. Hello. I took my glasses off, otherwise I could see your name. Let me put them on. But in when I was in school, math was all about, hi, dude, Sean. Hi, Sean. When I was in school, math was all about, you had to show your work, and it drove me crazy because I did much. I showing my work was always like an iffy situation, but giving the answer was easier, much easier. I'm not a math person, so it was always a little difficult, but it was much easier for me just to like do it my way and then come up with the answer. And I've always felt that show your work was unnecessarily fascistic and controlling. But I was a kid who believed that, well, I was a kid. What do you want from me? I had very dramatic ideas about, when adults try to control things. So, where was I? I was talking about intuition is the brain not showing its work and jumping to or and arriving at a conclusion a lot of times. This is how I view it. And it doesn't show its work, and I feel very confident that it is true that by flattening it more than I do, I could put less, fewer obstacles between myself and the things that I know that I know, even if I can't tell you how I know it. The problem that comes is that I'm a very emotional person. I manage the intensity, and I'm intense. And I manage that by really making strict delineation between what I see, what I know logically, and what I feel, what I perceive emotionally. Because I fear overreacting and hurting a friend or loved one, or hurting someone I don't know. And so I'm super strict with myself about how I'm allowed to respond to things. And that is by doing all of this background work in my head. But what kind of amazes me is how little makes it out of my mouth as a result. I mean, I'm one of those people who says maybe 1% of the things that I think, maybe. And I still talk a lot, which is something I don't know, people I've said before. So for me, of course, like right now, it's about figuring out how to feel about certain things that have happened and how to let those feelings lead me, which is not something I'm comfortable saying. The idea of being led by my feelings is not a good one. I don't think about that and think, oh, that's a fantastic plan. I think about that and I'm like, oh my God, that is just a bad idea. But I feel I might not be right about that. I feel like I hold myself too tightly, too much under control, too unwilling to allow myself the freedom of reacting to something. I had a really bad breakup, really bad. My life is very small because I'm disabled. So it takes place within these walls. I've been living the pandemic lifestyle for a really long time now, over like a couple of decades. And so relationships are always long distance, and I had a really bad breakup, and it really broke me. It broke me, but it also broke me wide open. What I was really struggling to do, what I took a lot of pains to do as far as my response to how the situation went down, because it involved a friend and it involved my person, is to remember that none of us are okay. There's the beginning of a pandemic, and really bad things were happening for both of them. And everybody gets, I don't think I can judge anybody by how they respond when it looks like the world's coming to an end. And that's what it looked like for a minute, right? So there's that part of me that knows logically and emotionally, like wants to be that for them, to offer them that last bit of my love, right? And then there's the part of me that is enormously hurt and betrayed. And that part doesn't get a lot of play. I will talk about what happened, but as far as processing it and my feelings about it, I'm afraid to do that. I am. I've been afraid to do it because I don't want to hate anybody. And I guess my fear has been that if I start really thinking about allowing myself to experience the anger and the hurt and the sense of betrayal, that I will stop loving them. And I don't really want to stop loving them because there's a part of me that feels like I owe so much to both of those people. And while I will never speak to one of them again, I still love her. And while the other one I can't imagine ever trusting again, I still love him. And I want to keep that. I want to keep like the understanding that I have of who they are at their core. And not who they became, because the world lost its mind on in like a thousand different ways all at once. But I also want to honor my feelings, like my experience of this situation. Yes, there was a time when I talked about this stuff a lot with my friends, etc., but I was in the middle of a pain storm and all this stuff was coming at me and I was just trying to survive. But as far as like processing anything, as soon as that ended, I really packed a lot of stuff away. There is something about betrayal that causes us to forget how to trust ourselves. I've never trusted my emotions a lot. But now I don't trust my responses. And for a while I shouldn't have, because I was not what I could say. I was not what you could call like in my standard mind. I was in several non-standard headspaces. I've never had a bad breakup before. I've never had a relationship that made me feel so much that losing that person would mean everything in some ways. Everyone's had that relationship. I'm really old to be having this experience. And I can't help think of it as a death. I was a certain kind of person before this happened. I was not super engaged emotionally, never have been. I was rational. I had like this baseline, this emotional baseline that I never deviated too much from in one direction or the other. I have moments of joy and response, right? And moments of like irritation or joy or happiness or affection or what you just whatever. Just moments that would spike, but mostly I've never lost touch with myself. And I did. This was hard. I joined the human race because everyone has been through this just about. And I don't know how people do this more than once. I'll be real with you. I don't know how people have heartbreak after heartbreak. I don't know how they do it because I couldn't do it. I don't think I can. I don't want to, frankly. I want to love the person that I loved. I'm still, whatever, feel whatever about. I don't really want to love anybody else. It's not even a question of what could I love again? Sure, I could. Or will I find love again? Sure, I will. I don't actually want it again right now. I just don't. I feel like I'm good. I had the experience of feeling loved and safe and secure, I mean, and adored and cherished. And that was marvelous. It was marvelous. And I got to adore and cherish in return. And that was beautiful. I don't think I need anything else. I mean, I don't want to be lonely. Don't get me wrong. Who wants to be lonely? Lonely kind of sucks. But I think that there's got to be choices about, I don't buy into the idea of romance or love as something that happens once and then that's the end. Don't buy into one kind of relationship between people, romantic partners. It's possible to have different levels. I have had different levels. But it does mean letting go of the Hollywood story. Hollywood theory of love and romance. It's pretty useless. Because, for them, for what you hear from the romance industry, love is the end all be all, and that person is all things to that to you. And that just doesn't make any sense. Human beings aren't really built that way. We're not built to talk to one person about all our things for the rest of our lives. We need connection with many people. I don't. It's always been a little bit of a frustration with me. My friends who, the girls who, the girls who get with a guy and then you become non-existent. I have a friend right now who's like, she's gotten with someone new, and I'm just like, I have not heard from her. It used to be that, I would go online and she would say hello at some point, and we would chit chat. And now she doesn't say hello anymore. I guess I could say hello to her, and I'm sure I will. But she's going to be busy if she holds true to her pattern. Unless, this guy really doesn't do it for her, which it's hard to imagine that he would. Anyway, I'm a jerk. But I think that there are different kinds of relationships that you can have. I want to prioritize someone in some way and be prioritized by them in some way, and that's pretty much it. And companionship. That sounds nice to me. I don't need to go all in the way I was before. It was awesome. Beautiful experience. But it's not something that I'm looking to repeat as a, I'm not looking for a replacement for that experience or repetition of it. It was special, and the person was special. But I'm really angry with them, and I don't really forgive them either. So complicated. Love is so complicated. Human interaction is so complicated, which is another reason why we need all our instruments. Which means, like, the idea of abandoning emotion as an information gathering source is ridiculous. I do know that my friend is right, but I fear letting go of what, the way that I've always done things for fear of, fear of like my ability to be so intense and emotional. Uncaging emotion sounds like a bad way to go, but it feels like if I could make them a matched set of horses, so to speak, that might work, where I can like they can both be my engine as opposed to one or the other more or less. If emotion and logic could balance each other, maybe that's a way. I don't know. I might be talking crap. It is possible. It's not like I've never done it before. But I kind of am thinking, I'm toying with the idea of like just a little bit more than I've always already done, I've ever done to allow myself to consider them equal in terms of the information that they give. And when there's a contradiction, then, and I want to say then you go with logic, but I have found, because like I said, fairly intuitive, really perceptive about human beings, if I go with the logic, only the logic, right? I'm gonna miss something. We don't know. It's very complicated. I'm hurt. I don't know how to put it exactly. It's not, no, that's wrong. How to put it? He calls me sometimes. He like reaches for me. I can feel it. 'Cause there's a part of me that miss the part of me that misses him is like I'm always managing that feeling. I'm always trying to keep myself from being overwhelmed or living in it. Overwhelmed by it or living in it. So I sort of have a reasonably constant low level eye on how I'm feeling about missing him. So when it grows, when it shrinks, I can kind of see where it's coming from, right? But there are times, and it happened when we were together as well, and I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just like overwhelmed by this feeling of him, of need to be, of need, of him needing me. Of him reaching for me. And we were very much the couple who would think about each other and then the other one would reach out. Very much the couple where, I would be waking up because we're in different time zones. I would be waking up just as he would be messaging me at the, beginning or at a particular time in his evening. And that had to do with scheduling and patterns as much as anything. But then there were times when I would like him to say goodnight before I went to bed. And so there are times when I would like be getting ready to go to bed. And I'll have said goodnight. And I'll really, really want him to call me. I'll just think to myself, I just really want him to call. And he would call every time. So we have some kind of, we're on some kind of wavelength either that I don't understand. That's pretty common to human beings. And so there are times when he wants me, that he misses me, that he needs me. Is so like strong because I'm looking at my feeling of want, need, missing, and then there's this other feeling that overwhelms it, even though it doesn't stem from it. I don't know. Anyway. So that's my malfunction right now. I'm all in that nonsense. It's difficult. So that's so funny. Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway, you guys, I'm gonna take off for the night. But I wanna say good night and hello and thank you for coming back after I've been away for so long. Anyway, take care.